Rule number 15. Tattling on people is kind of mean, unless it's for a good reason. Mrs. Hunter, Cheyenne said, pointing at me. Allie threw her backpack down on the ground on purpose to make a dirt cloud get all over Stuart and Patrick. Patrick held up his arm. It's true. Allie got dirt in my scab. Tattling on people is kind of mean. Because they were kicking dirt on that kid, Scott Stampley said, pointing at Joey, and calling him Upchuck. Unless you're tattling on someone for a good reason. Like Scott tattling on Stuart and Patrick for what they were doing to Joey. Don't even ask me why Scott Stampley, of all people, would come to my defense. Because I honestly have no idea. Especially since he hates me. Really? Mrs. Hunter said, her green eyes crackling even harder. Well, that hardly sounds like the kind of behavior I would expect from a Team Shawnee member. Perhaps you boys would like to join Mr. Curtis, spending the rest of the day cleaning the bus floor. Patrick quickly put his arm down.
I wouldn't like that at all, he said. No, thank you, Stuart said, his face starting to turn red.
Mrs. Hunter, Cheyenne said. It's true. Stuart and Patrick were calling Joey names, but Allie just stomped up and threw her backpack down and got dirt all over them. It was extremely rude. You know she has these immature outbursts from out of nowhere all the time. I agree, Brittany said. If I may be frank, I know Allie from when she used to go to Walnut Knolls, and it's always been my observation that she should be held back a year. I mean, she and her friends came to school today in their pajamas. I felt my face turning as red as Stuart's, but for a different reason, of course. I couldn't believe my trying to do the responsible thing had led to this. Also, I had a very bad feeling that I knew what was coming next. Mary Kay was going to whisper shout something about my book of rules. Why not? I could see her, standing next to Brittany, trying very hard not to look at me. She was staring at the ground, the rim of her bonnet hiding her face. But it was obvious that she was just aching for the right moment to spill the beans again about my very private and personal business. She'd already told everybody Joey was my boyfriend. A total lie. What was keeping her from telling everyone something that was actually true? Well, if she opened her mouth about it, I decided I was going to tell on all of them for trading teams, even though Ms. Myers had forbidden it. Those girls had to have traded to all end up on Team Shawnee like this. Mrs. Hunter had to be able to see this. Maybe she didn't know that Brittany and Mary Kay and Lauren and Paige were all friends. But she obviously knew that Cheyenne and Marianne and Dominique were. She had to do something about it. It wasn't fair. Except that, before I got a chance to say anything about it, Mrs. Hunter said, "Well, if I may be frank, ladies, I'd like to make an observation of my own, and that's that I'm not seeing very much teamwork at all here on Team Shawnee. In fact, I'm seeing the opposite of that. So I think I'll take it upon myself to see if I can't do a little something about that." "Oh," Cheyenne said quickly, "we're practicing teamwork, Mrs. Hunter. See?" And she put her arm around Brittany's waist and cocked her head in a way that looked a lot like Kevin's cute face. "How nice," Mrs. Hunter said. "But that isn't exactly the kind of teamwork I had in mind. It's my understanding that part of the Honeypot Prairie experience is getting to know your neighbors, just like the early settlers did back when they needed one another's help with putting out wildfires and fending off attacks from wild boars. Isn't that so, Mrs. Higginbottom, the schoolteacher lady said. "And it certainly is." She nodded so hard her bun fell down. I saw Cheyenne exchange glances with M and D. Brittany did the same with Mary Kay, Lauren, and Paige. I could pretty much read their thoughts. They were thinking the same I was. Wild boars? What was about to happen here? "So, I think the best thing to do," Mrs. Hunter said, "would be to assign each of you a buddy right now. Someone for you to spend the rest of the day with. Someone for you to get to know much better." Exactly, Mrs. Higginbottom said enthusiastically. I think this is a splendid idea. Great, Mrs. Hunter said. This was when my heart gave a great big unhappy plop, because I could tell what Mrs. Hunter was about to do, and I wasn't going to like it. No one was. Not at all. You, Mrs. Hunter said, pointing at Brittany, you're going to be his buddy. Then she pointed at Lenny Sue.
What?
Brittany's face, beneath her bonnet brim, fell. Lenny, glancing up from the book on dragons he'd been deeply engrossed in during all of this, didn't seem too happy about the arrangement either. You, Mrs. Hunter said, pointing at Patrick, you're going to be her buddy. And she pointed at Paige. Paige looked like she was going to be the second person on the field trip to throw up. Do I have to? She asked anxiously.
Well, Mrs. Hunter said, you traded to be on this team, didn't you?
Paige looked a little faint.
We told you the punishment for trading was going to be severe, Mrs. Hunter said.
Oh, this was severe, all right. It was even worse than wild boars.
Excuse me, Cheyenne said, raising her hand, even though we weren't in class. I volunteered to be his buddy.
And she pointed to Scott Stampfli, her other hand going to her ringlets as she smiled at him adoringly. Scott Stampfli turned as red as my nightgown. Then he stepped quickly toward Joey, the person standing closest to him, besides his friend Paul.
I volunteer to be his buddy, he said, indicating Joey.
Mrs. Hunter hesitated. It was pretty clear she was punishing everyone by not letting anyone be buddies with someone they actually wanted to be buddies with. So Scott, volunteering to be buddies with Joey, was screwing up her whole plan. Joey looked up at Scott, who was almost a head taller than he was, and said in a worshipful voice,
I'll be your buddy, Scott.
Fine, Mrs. Hunter said. If that's what you want, Joey, you two be buddies.
I was pretty sure Mrs. Hunter was letting Joey pick his own buddy because he'd been the one who'd thrown up on the bus that morning. Still, Scott Stampfli couldn't be Joey's buddy. Scott Stampfli was... Scott Stampfli! He wasn't going to be a positive influence on Joey. Scott Stampfli was going to show Joey how to fart and then wave the fart smell in my direction. Scott Stampfli was going to teach Joey how to burp the alphabet. Scott Stampfli was going to show Joey how to flip his eyelids inside out and then tap unsuspecting girls on the shoulder and say, Hello, may I borrow your pencil? These were all things I had seen Scott Stampfli do in the past. He just hadn't done any of them today. And so Cheyenne, who didn't know any better, had a crush on him. And Mrs. Hunter, who hadn't seen him do any of these things, thought he might be a positive influence like me. But before I could warn her, Mrs. Hunter was pairing off everyone else in our group so quickly that I hardly had time to register it when I heard, All right, boys and girls! Mrs. Higginbottom made her voice all mysterious. Follow me back into 1849, when there was no electricity. There were no cars, no ice for your drinks, because there was no such thing as refrigeration. And let's go to the Honeypot Schoolhouse. And Mrs. Hunter had us get into line two by two, so we were standing next to our buddy. And I found myself right next to my ex-best friend, Mary K. Shiner.